Growing up as a kid, there was always one of two things on television in my home. If my dad was watching TV, it was the History Channel. If my mother was watching television, it was HGTV or DIY Network. My father would often grumble and say that HGTV and DIY are dangerous channels for my mother to watch, because she would always get new ideas for a new renovation, and that meant a guy had a lot to do in his spare time. My dad was in charge then of making it happen. And he would often say, after it would take him a long time to get it done, and my mother would complain, that HGTV and DIY are not realistic. They have a whole crew of professionals, and they do it in a one-hour episode when it takes often weeks to do the renovation. My brothers and sisters, still one of the most popular forms of entertainment today is watching people renovate homes. We admire beautiful kitchens, open floor plans, perfect paint colors, and carefully arranged furniture. We spend thousands of dollars designing our homes because we know that where we live shapes how we live. But today's readings ask a more important question to us. How is the interior of your soul arranged? How is the interior of your soul arranged? We hear prominently in our first reading that the wealthy Shunammite woman notices something others do not. She recognizes that Elisha is a holy man of God. And so what does she do? She doesn't simply invite him for dinner, she rearranges her house. She says to her husband, "Let us make a little room on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp." Some might say that that was the ancient penthouse suite, expensive real estate even in ancient times. But disregard the joke and notice the details. Every piece of furniture has a purpose. The bed offers rest. The table is a place for nourishment and study. The chair is a place to remain, to dwell, to contemplate. And the lamp gives light to overcome the darkness of the room. She literally designs a room where God, through his prophet, Elisha, will always be welcome in her home. Now, you see, the church fathers often saw the home as an image of the human heart and soul. The question becomes, if Christ came to inspect the interior design of your soul, what would he find? Would he find there a bed, a place where we have learned to rest in God's word through prayer? Or is every room filled with anxiety and endless activity, not able to rest? Would he find a table where we feast upon sacred scripture and the great sacrament of the Eucharist? Or has the table become cluttered with distractions, entertainment, and noise? Here's a great challenge for probably many people. Your dining room table, guess what it's meant for? Dining. Some people might have things all over it, bills, mail, whatever it might be. You never use it for dining anymore. Go home, clear it off, and set it for dinner with your closest loved ones. Invite someone to share in that fellowship with you. If you would go to my rectory, one thing I'm very big on is my dining room table is always set, ready for the next meal, the next guest to come. Would Jesus, if he came into your soul, find a chair where he is invited to remain? Jesus says in our gospel and in elsewhere, "Abide in me." Do we give him a permanent residence, or is he merely an occasional visitor? Would Jesus find a lamp there, the lamp of our faith given to us at baptism, and even as we hear in the baptismal ritual, to be kept burning brightly as that candle is handed from the great paschal candle to the parents and godparents of the child baptized? Is it burning brightly, or has it grown dim because we have neglected confession, prayer, and the sacraments as a whole? The woman of Shunem, the wealthy woman, teaches us something remarkable. Before God gives her the miracle of a son, she has to first make room for God. That is often how grace works. God does not force his way into a crowded house. Rather, he awaits an invitation. Jesus says something similar in our gospel today. Whoever receives you receives me. Receiving Christ means making room for him. It means recognizing that he cannot simply become another decoration in our lives. He must become the center around which everything else is organized and arranged. All of this interior design has come up in my homily because it's been on my mind as I moved into a new rectory and I'm trying to take a house and turn it into a home. A big point of designing each room is always what you focus on and is really the highlighted piece of each room. So if you have a fireplace in a room, it makes sense to then build around that. There are certain elements to each room that are called focal points, and you design around them so the room makes sense. It has a purpose, and ultimately it becomes beautiful. So what is the focal point of your life? Career, success, comfort, maybe even better for some, family. But my brothers and sisters, even good things have to be subjugated to the one thing that is necessary, which is Jesus himself. If we become disordered and don't have him as the focal point, the organizing principle of our life, things fall apart. A well-designed room is not one that contains the most furniture. It is one where everything is properly ordered. That's the balance that we even hear often in the gospel. Think about Martha and Mary. It's not just about doing things, having the most furniture possible in a room. That would just be a stack of furniture upon itself that you couldn't even enjoy or sit down or use. Rather, the soul has to be properly ordered towards rest in God and service and activity in the world to our duties and responsibilities. But what always comes first? Prayer. The great Benedictine motto that I was trained under at St. Vincent, ora et labora. It's never labora et ora. It's always pray and work. Everything that we do has to flow out of an interiority of prayer, and then we manifest Christ in the world by our actions. My brothers and sisters, this is what St. Paul means in our second reading. Through baptism, the old self has died so that Christ may become the organizing principle of our lives. We no longer arrange life around ourselves. We arrange ourselves around him who is our life. Perhaps this week, each of us should become an interior designer, not of our living room, but rather of our soul. Ask yourself, where does Christ rest in my life? Where am I able to sit quietly with him? Where is the table where I feed on his word and sacrament and continue to find enrichment and nourishment from that throughout the week? Is the lamp of faith still burning brightly, or is it very dark in that room? Because, my brothers and sisters, the beautiful promise hidden in today's readings is this: whenever we make room for God, he always fills that room with more than we could have ever imagined. This is absolutely true in my own life. Because I am a man of prayer that I've been converted to in my life is so much richer now than it ever was previous. I have meaning, I have purpose, I have an eternal direction in which I am aimed, and so my life becomes efficacious in a way that it otherwise could not. Organized not around myself and my own ego or the things of this world, but of Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. The Shunammite woman made a small room for a prophet. God filled her house with new life. If we make room for Christ in the house of our hearts, he will do far more than just improve the decor. He will make our hearts his home. And wherever Christ makes his home, eternal life has already begun. You might not have enough money right now to renovate your home. You can go to Trash and Treasure. They might be able to help you. But my brothers and sisters, you certainly have the means to renovate your soul. Jesus is just waiting upon his invitation. And how does that invitation begin when you write it? today before the very holy altar of God. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. And we say the words, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.